Torrance, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 26, 2011. Saints, you know the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. So it's time to come out of Babylon, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And you know, you can always find our updates with the news, our ministry, and this radio program at our radio blog at prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. You should go over there and check it out, because we've got some awful good news articles over there, and we keep you updated. And you can also find out how to donate and how to contact us. So, okay. Before our guest comes on tonight, let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray tonight that you guide our guest so that the truth comes forward, and give the people ears in which to hear it. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight, our guest is a Harvard PhD. You know, he's authored 5 New York best-selling books, New York Times best-selling books, including the number 1 Times bestsellers, The Abomination and Unfit for Command. By now, you probably figured out who he is. He also has a bulletin called Red Alert. He is a senior staff writer for WorldNet Daily. And tonight, he is here to bring some insight to the birth certificate issue with Obama. And so now, we welcome Dr. Jerome Croce. Are you there with me, Jerome?
Hi, Pastor Dan. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I got your book, but I haven't had time to completely finish it. But it's dynamite. Most people, I guess the first question that most people would ask, so we can start this program off, is why is the book still so important when the birth certificate already came forward?
Well, I've maintained and have, you know, from the beginning, that the birth certificate the Obama administration released is fraudulent. That's a fake document. I think that's critical to understanding. You know, I pretty much knew it had to be fake to begin with. If you read the book, it's clear that, to me, the evidence is that Obama was likely not born in Hawaii and most likely born in Kenya. In fact, for a long time, the Obama people said he was born in Queens Medical Center, different hospital.
Right.
And then 2009, if you take a look at the book, I've got like 125 exhibits in this book in the center section. And by the 2009, the story had changed to where Obama was claiming he was born in Kapiolani Hospital. Well, you know, it's possible to be born in 2 hospitals at one time. And I can't imagine
absolutely.
They didn't know where he was born. So I figured from the beginning that the whole idea Obama was born in a hospital in Hawaii probably never happened at all.
Absolutely. Let me say something here real quick for our listeners. Folks, this book, while I haven't read all of it because I just really received it, it has a dynamite document section in it. And when you open up this book, even if the birth certificate part of the book was an issue, there's so much dynamite information in there that it'll keep you spellbound from the first. Going back to the birth certificate, this one that they released online, aren't they finding a lot of somebody, some experts finding some problems with it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's pretty clear from looking at it that it opens up electronically. It's an electronic document.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that there's been manipulation of the data. In other words, it was a cut-and-paste job where they took several composite birth certificates, maybe some of them were real,
mm-hmm.
and they cut and pasted them together to create this birth certificate for Obama. And when you look into it, you really see how the document was put together. It's clear in the electronic file that it was forged. This is not the way it naturally came together. It was not a scan of a paper document. It's a creation in the electronic document of a brand new and fake birth certificate.
Well, right. I know that if I scan, a document in and I use... Once I scan it in, I scan it as a picture where I assume this was supposed to be as, but you couldn't, change it or have different layers to it. It would be just one layer.
Precisely. And even if it had some layering to it, first of all, the whole issue here was the White House is now saying, they just forgot to turn off the optical character recognition, the OCR software,
mm-hmm.
which is evident here. Anybody who knows anything about the software, when you're making a scan from a Xerox machine, basically, you don't use the OCR software unless you're trying to read the document into word processing, for instance.
Right.
And so, therefore, there'd be no reason to read this document into word processing. There should have been no reason to have the OCR on.
Absolutely.
And it makes no sense at all that the document has the layers to it, which they try to explain away by saying, the OCR was left on. It just doesn't make any sense. The explanations that the White House has been giving don't make sense, and that's part of the problem.
Well, absolutely. And for the record, you would think anyway, with any normal person would think that something as important as his birth certificate to shut everybody up and not to be project, they'd make sure that the OCR, wasn't on, or they would indeed, if they caught it, they would, show another one.
Precisely. And so there's lots of problems with this document. I mean, the number sequence has been wrong always. Whoever forged Obama's birth record picked the wrong number. Obama's birth was registered on August 8th, and his number, I had the instructions from there was a journal article written by Charles Bennett, who was the Registrar General of the Hawaii Department of Health in 1955, and he described how he set up the birth record system
mm-hmm.
so that when it was stamped and a date stamped by the General Registrar, it was given a number.
Mm-hmm.
The birth certificate number was stamped with a Bates, one of those Bates stamp machines, hand stamp machines, manually incremented by one each time it was used. So Obama's birth records were, his birth certificate was registered on August 8th, and it was given number 10641. The two Nordyke twins were born a day later in the hospital. They were registered 3 days later. August 11th,
mm-hmm.
and they were given birth certificate numbers 10637 and 10638. Now, that just can't be, because
absolutely.
Registered 3 days later, they can't have lower numbers, and Obama registered 3 days earlier should have had the lower number.
Right.
Which means that whoever forged it picked the wrong number for Obama.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Somebody... messing up there, go on.
Well, so these kind of problems make it clear that the document's a fake document. And I pretty much guessed that when the White House released the document, they were going to release a fake document.
Right.
But now the White House is stuck with this document.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a good question. They stonewalled so long. I have my own opinion. Do you think it was because of Trump that they released this, or do you think it was because your book was about ready to come out?
I think it was the book.
I absolutely do too.
I don't think Trump. Trump was. I think Trump was actually working with the White House.
You think so?
Well, I mean, look. This, you know, Trump comes out and makes a big deal of the birth certificate, and then the White House releases it all of a sudden. They hadn't released this document for 3 years. I think they were afraid of my book coming out. This was a good, convenient way to release it. Trump all of a sudden says, well, good enough for me, and he drops out of the race. And then Trump gets a $60 million contract from NBC, which, of course, is still 48% owned by GE.
Close
to the White House, so there's a good payoff for Trump. And
yeah,
I'm going to be waiting.
Absolutely. I didn't realize that they were owned by GE at all.
Yeah.
Well, what about the WorldNet Daily article? Do you know anything about it that came out today that said Trump's saying that it's a forgery?
Well, that's been back and forth all day today. I mean, Trump called me on Tuesday, and in the conversation, Trump said again, he said this to me and Joseph Farah before, that his computer guy who does the golf courses for him called him up the day after or right after the birth certificate was released by the White House. This golf course designer designs everything on the computer. Trump said he's a real computer genius. He can tell you how the holes are going to play once he designs it on the computer without ever having built the hole in the golf course. So Trump said the computer guy that designed the golf courses called him up and said the birth certificate on the White House website's a fake.
Right.
So Trump said he's always believed it was a fake after that call. Now, we reported that in WorldNet Daily, and at the end of the day, Trump's denying he said that. Of course, we've got pretty extensive notes.
Right.
And I don't think Donald Trump and Joseph Farah and I both heard it. So I don't think Trump trying to retract it. I think it's just more evidence that Trump doesn't want to upset the White House.
Right, absolutely. It sure seems highly. That's all highly suspicious.
Let's go.
Your book. Let's go into that book. What all's in that? That book is dynamite from page one. I guess one of the first real issues that stood out at me that I didn't know about. There's this a man. He's a lieutenant. Harris?
Yes, Quarles Harris.
Yeah, can you tell the people a little about it, Lieutenant Harris, because I don't think many people have really even heard that.
Well, this was Barack Obama's passport records. Now, Barack Obama won't release any of his records.
Right.
And he has these passport records he won't release. And this, there was a breach of his passport records in the 2008 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And when they breached the records, Barack Obama then confessed that he'd gone to Pakistan. Nobody ever knew he went to Pakistan before. And this one guy, whose name was this Lieutenant Quarles Harris, was involved in stealing passports and was involved in identity theft. And he got picked up by the police. And it turns out that Quarles Harris was murdered, drive-by shooting. It was clearly an execution. And so the question is, was he tied in with Barack Obama's passport record being breached, or was there clearly just an indication of how dangerous it was here to breach passport records, and was he trying to be silent?
Well, just for the record, a bullet in the head is a pretty accurate drive-by shooting, if you ask me.
Very accurate. Professional job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these things happen, I reported also there were the 9 people in Davenport, Iowa. They worked for a company that did tuition. They worked on student tuition, student loans for the federal government. And they were using their computers to look up the student records of famous people and movie stars and baseball players and the like. And then when they finally got to look up, and nothing happened. They were looking up the records, and nothing happened. They looked up Barack Obama's student records, and like the next day, the FBI was in the office, ready there, and all arrested them all. So there's clearly a check, of clear hold, and put on all Barack Obama's records, such that if anybody looks at them, they may be risking their life, and certainly being prosecuted. Now, in an open and transparent presidency, we shouldn't have to be looking for birth certificate records 2 years into the presidency and passport records that have yet to be released. We don't know all the countries Barack Obama's traveled in. We don't have a student record. I mean, the lack of Barack Obama's records goes on and on. And this should be disturbing to people who, when they realize that Barack Obama is basically undocumented, you know, this is pretty frightening.
That is really frightening to not know the background, you know, of the man that's running our country. And reportedly, you know, normally our president is, you know, the most powerful person in the world, you know.
Right.
Let's go with this. Let's talk a little bit about this. Let's say the birth certificate that they did was real. That would bring up the issue that, but his dad being a British citizen, wouldn't that also make him ineligible?
Well, and I cover that in the book. I mean, this was, the Democrats attacked John McCain really hard on his citizenship record. And going back to February 2008, first 15 exhibits in this book document the attack on John McCain. And it's clear when you look at it, you know, Washington Post, New York Times were attacking McCain. And if there was Washington Post, McCain's birth abroad stirs legal debate. That's May 2, 2008. Well, McCain was born in the Panama Canal Zone because his father was a naval officer stationed at the Navy base there. Now, McCain, and of course the Democrats in the mainstream media, when they were attacking McCain, didn't call themselves birthers. They didn't think it was off track or a waste of time. And McCain went to the Congress, and he presented his birth records. And Congress passed a resolution. They said McCain was a natural-born citizen because McCain, first of all, had two parents who were U.S. citizens when McCain was born. That's an important requirement, being a natural-born citizen. And they also said that the founders never meant for somebody to be disqualified as a natural-born citizen to run for president because they were born overseas when their parents were serving the U.S. military in defense of the country.
Right.
Now, Barack Obama co-sponsored that resolution, but he did not submit his birth records to Congress for an equal examination because Barack Obama knew he couldn't meet the criteria of that resolution. He didn't have two parents who were U.S. citizens when he was born. His father was born in Kenya. That made Barack Obama a dual citizen at birth.
Right.
He's been a Commonwealth of Great Britain. Kenya was a Commonwealth country. And a citizen of the United States. Well, dual citizens are, by definition, not natural-born citizens.
Right.
And that's a problem because that alone should have disqualified Obama from running for president.
Well, absolutely. And so my question is even if people would seemingly accept this birth certificate, why isn't anyone yelling about that issue,
think? As the book makes the point, they should be. And
yeah, absolutely.
The same about when Barack Obama went into Indonesia. You know, I've got the book page. You know, the exhibit shows, Exhibit 100 shows Barack Obama's mother when she was in Indonesia. Barack Obama was age 6 to 10. She removed him from her passport.
Right.
And when she scratched out his name, she put down Barack Obama Soetoro. Soetoro was Obama's Indonesian surname, and Obama was going to school in Indonesia as Barry Soetoro,
right,
which was his stepfather's last name. Now, if Barack Obama was adopted in Indonesia, if he became an Indonesian citizen, like the passport suggests or the school records say, then he was again a dual citizen. And a dual citizen, you know, even though you don't make a choice,
right?
You don't choose your citizenship status. It's a fact of your birth and your life circumstances. But if you become a dual citizen after birth, that again compromises your natural-born citizenship status.
Right.
And that should have been an issue, but of course Barack Obama won't release his adoption records. We don't have his passport records. And all these questions remain unanswered.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me point out to some of these exhibits to the people for a moment, folks. If you just bought the book and you just went to the exhibits are enough. I went through the exhibits before I started reading the book. And this, there's so much evidence in these exhibits that by the time you read the book, you're just, you know, 1,000% convinced. So you did an excellent job on this.
Thank you.
Let's see, we got about 2 or 3 minutes before break. Maybe we address this issue real quick before break. I noticed on Exhibit 54, it's a communication, it looks like, from the Kenyan Parliament.
Yeah.
It seems like they're acknowledging that.
Yes.
Barack Obama was born there in Kenya.
Yes. And, in fact, I got a lot of documents from Kenya. After the book was published, and I published these in World Net Daily, the Kenyan government believed the grandmother who said Obama was born in Kenya, and they began a search for Obama's passport, or his birth records,
mm-hmm.
starting in 2007. On government stationery, the Kenyan officials report that 1961 birth records in Kenya were criminally tampered with so as to eliminate the record of Obama's birth and to cover it up.
And you got that since the book came out?
Since the book came out. I published it in World Net Daily.
Right. I must have missed that article because I normally follow, and folks, you should too. You can subscribe to World Net Daily for free, but I normally follow World Net Daily every day. I must have just missed that one. But that's amazing.
You can also do a Google alert to my name and you get all the articles I've written. Of course, you get everything else written about me, but some of it's not worth reading because my enemies attack me, you know, by ad hominem attacks. And they're pretty vicious.
Yeah. Well, you know, you did a lot against the left. You're the swift boat guy, I guess
right.
They called it, with Kerry.
That's right. Well, you know, I've been writing, I believe in the Constitution, and I think it's very important that Article 2, Section 1, the natural born citizen requirement for president, be upheld and maintained. And I don't think Barack Obama will get a pass on it. And I don't think it's racist to argue this because the Democrats and the mainstream media went after John McCain, and fair is fair, Barack Obama ought to meet the same standard.
Well, you know, what really seems like, you know, look, and, you know, I'm trying not to get people to think this is just some conspiracy, but looking at all this, it has to be some kind of a conspiracy because wouldn't you be clear to say that more than just Barack Obama and his wife would be in on this?
Of course. I think it's gone back a long time. There's been a lot of covering up, of records. And Barack Obama, I think, knows he wasn't born in Hawaii, knows his father was Kenyan when he was born, so he's not a natural-born citizen. And Barack Obama has been trying to skate by and get by without having to admit it. In fact, the Exhibit 124 makes it clear, it's the Congressional Research Service in 2009,
mm-hmm.
which concluded that no agency of government vetted Barack Obama, looked at his birth credentials, because there's a loophole in the Constitution. While Article 2, Section 1 requires a person to be natural born to run for president, there's no institution of government charged to look at a person's birth credentials to tell if they're natural born. So somebody like Barack Obama, who knew he wasn't qualified, wasn't eligible, just kind of slipped through without ever having to show his records.
Yeah, and I don't see how they could just... There's just too many checks and balances that seem like should have been there that just wasn't. Okay, we're going to be going to a break in about 35 seconds or so. Why don't you give? Which website of yours do you wish to give, or you could give one?
Yeah, I think people should World Net Daily. I'm a senior staff reporter, WND.com.
Right.
And go to JeromeCorsi.com, which is 1776 Nation. And that's my personal website.
You still do the red alerts?
I do, but I'm taking a break on it until the book publicity dies down a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I probably don't blame you on that. Okay, folks, you really need to get this book. And, you know, if you got family that hasn't tuned in yet to the program, we'll be back in about 3 minutes with a lot more because I got some other good questions for him, and he's got a lot of good answers. So we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Anyway, we
come riding on the cloud, shining like the sun.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
What makes deep sea salt from France so different? Up from the ocean depths in the south of France flow undersea rivers of pristine sea water. At high tide, the prepared salt ponds are filled with this water. Over spring and summer, processed only by ocean breezes and sunshine, the brine thickens and salt crystals float to the top. These are harvested with nets and deposited on wooden drainage flats to dry. The salt is then gathered up, packaged, and shipped around the world. This salt is much more than a box of lifeless sodium chloride. Soldiers worth their salt were once paid with this valuable commodity. It contains 78 to 84 balancing elements. This is living salt, and once you have tasted it, you will never go back to anything else. I've seen this salt in gourmet shops for $30 a pound. Get it now at 4spectrum.us for under $8 a pound. Order 10 pounds and enter the coupon code AVRSALT at checkout and save $20. Ships free to your door or call 800-581-8906. Order today.
Here's what an expert says about distilled water. If you decide on bottled water, make sure it's distilled. However, in the long run, you'll save money if you clean your water at home. It's more convenient than hauling gallon jugs from the store. The gold standard for purifying your water is a system that distills your water and filters it. You have the comfort of knowing there is no chlorine, fluoride, bacteria, viruses, pesticides, or lead. You get nothing but H2O. Maximum health. Dr. Robert D. Willits Jr., MD. Order your tabletop water distiller for $139.99 postpaid. It comes with everything you need to get pure distilled water. Go to superstore.theamericanvoice.com. That's superstore.theamericanvoice.com. Order now.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landset.com. That's freezedryguy@landset.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor in our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. It's folks like kind folks like you people that help the folks that come to this our mission church to get food and everything else that are needs, and many of them are military veterans. So pray about a donation tonight. And now we're back with Dr. Jerome Kirshy talking about his new book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president, which I totally agree. Are you there with me, Jerome?
I'm right here, yes.
All right. Before I'd interrupt you and told you it was about break time, you'd mentioned that he had went to Pakistan, which brings up the whole Indonesian issue. And that's another fodder. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, sure. I mean, Barack Obama went to Pakistan, and we didn't know about this until after his passport record were breached. He went to Pakistan. He admitted it finally. And he went with college roommates who from Occidental. Now, this was a time when it was very difficult to get to Pakistan. It was not possible.
Right.
But it's quite likely. I've always thought that he went to Indonesia first and went to Pakistan on an Indonesian passport. And again, Barack Obama won't give us the passport record. We don't have Barack Obama's passport record, so we can't tell.
Well, your book tells how he would have had an Indonesian passport, and that was through his stepdad or something. Could you tell him about that?
Well, when Barack Obama went to Indonesia, he was between ages 6 and 10. And he was, I think, adopted by his Indonesian stepfather. I mean, if you take a look at Exhibit 100, his mother removed him from her passport when she was in Indonesia. Now, what she did was she crossed out his name, Barack Obama, Hussein Obama, and underneath it wrote in parentheses his Indonesian surname, Soy Barka. We'd never heard Barack Obama had that name before. And then a couple of pages earlier, if you take a look at the school records, Barack Obama was registered in Indonesian school as Barry Satoro, which was his Indonesian stepfather's last name. And again, he's registered as a Muslim and as an Indonesian citizen. Now, if Barack Obama was an Indonesian citizen, if he had a passport from Indonesia, then he was again a dual citizen. And dual citizens are not U.S. citizens, they're not natural-born citizens, and it would have disqualified Barack Obama from running for president, which I think why he's been so hidden about his past and his history in being adopted when he was a child in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something that seems to me really unusual about Mr. Obama, whatever you want to call him, Abomination, I call him sometimes, but is that, you know, when you grow up with people, you know, people remember you. I mean, come on, there doesn't seem to be anybody through his childhood, unless you found it, anybody through his childhood or adults or anything, you know, really saying, hey, I knew the president or anything. You know, that seems pretty suspicious, doesn't it?
It is. I mean, in Hawaii, again, you know, these two hospitals, I kept saying over and over again, well, where's the records of the mother being a patient in any of these hospitals?
Right.
You know, she wasn't. No patient records have yet come forward for Ann Dunham in any of these hospitals in Hawaii. And when they forged this birth certificate, I believe that what the White House released was forged, the doctor that they picked was dead. So, again, the family said we didn't know anything the doctor had delivered the president. He'd never said anything when he was alive.
Right.
And, you know, that seems very odd, too. Certainly the doctor would have bragged about it.
Well, you know, I was talking to somebody about something yesterday, and he said, well, you know, when something happens, maybe, you know, exactly like in something twice, but when it starts happening three times and four times, and that's the problem with Obama, it's just not, there's not just like one small thing, but there's an on and on list of things that you're clearly hearing in your book that just goes on, and it makes, you know, it can't all be coincidence, can it?
No, not at all. That's, I think, we come to the final conclusion about Obama. We don't have any of Obama's records. I did a whole appendix to the book, Appendix A, and listed all the records we don't have, which are we don't have Barack Obama's kindergarten records. We don't have any of his school records. No passport records. No travel records. We don't know all the countries Barack Obama's visited. We don't have his school records to know whether he applied to these colleges as a foreign student or got foreign assistance, foreign aid assistance, foreign tuition support when he was at Occidental or Columbia or Harvard. How he got into these schools, who recommended him. All this Barack Obama keeps hidden. And when somebody's hiding this much about their records and who they are, when you find out records, the records disagree from the story that's been told, I think that really makes us suspicious about the whole life story of Barack Obama, and we really don't know who this guy is.
Really? And why, I mean, you know, if he was just going to release a birth certificate, finally, why did he spend millions of dollars, hasn't he spent millions of dollars suppressing this stuff?
Correct. He had, Barack Obama had hired the law firm of Perkins Coie in out of the West Coast to represent him on these eligibility suits.
Mm-hmm.
And then his attorney there, whose name is Bauer, Robert Bauer, is brought into the White House as White House counsel, and Barack Obama writes a special directive that allows Bauer to continue representing him on eligibility suits. Bauer is married to Anita Dunn, and she's the communications director who went after Fox News, said Fox News wasn't a news source and they weren't going to be able to participate in the pool reporting. Glenn Beck went after Anita Dunn. She finally resigned.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these are the people Barack Obama spent millions of dollars on not releasing his birth certificate. And then suddenly when my book is published, it all of a sudden becomes available, which is highly suspect.
Right. It's really highly suspect, all of it. Let's go with this. What if you could prove that he was born in Kenya finally? What would that cause for the country, or who would take action?
Well, I think we'd have a constitutional crisis. And I think
mm-hmm.
people would realize that the long-form birth certificate that was released on April 27th is a forgery.
Right.
Now that
wouldn't
means
that be a felony?
It's a felony. I don't think American people are ready to have the president stay in power by a felony being committed. And the president authorized the felony. The president came and said, this is my birth certificate. He owns that document. Now, I think the president would have to be removed from office, and maybe even the vice president. Maybe the entire election would be invalid. And
yeah.
Conceivably, all the laws and everything else President Obama has done would be invalid.
Absolutely. And that would leave what? The Speaker of the House in charge, wouldn't it?
Probably the Speaker of the House. Probably go to John Boehner.
Right. Well, you know, that's absolutely. I think it was Gary Creep I had on. And he, by the way, have you heard? Is this lawsuit still going in? Or
I think it's still going on.
I thought that they finally got to have briefings or something in it, didn't they?
Yes, I think they've advanced to the Supreme Court. They've got some hearings scheduled, but we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't look, and it would have to get under just the right judge in order for that to go forward, because you know most of the judges it's appeared for seem to be liberal type judges. Isn't that
right.
correct?
And the courts are not very willing to take on political questions because the courts don't like being involved like they were in 2000 between George W. Bush and Al Gore.
Right.
When the Florida recount was settled and President Bush won in the Supreme Court, and Democrats have said ever since that Bush was selected, not elected.
Right.
So the courts don't like to be in these situations.
Yeah, absolutely. But now, going back to that, to what you said a moment ago, do you think that also the vice president too would have to be out because they run together as a
right.
team? So I don't see how they could keep one without the other.
The whole ticket would have to go.
The whole ticket would have to go. Definitely a constitutional crisis. Well, we've heard a lot of different things, and I know you're up on it. So has any of the states? Do you think are going to challenge him before the next election or basically say you have to prove your citizenship?
I think we need a new mechanism. We need a mechanism for the sub-branch of government to create a reliable mechanism to check all future candidates. So I think by 2012 that could be put into place. There's 13, 14 states looking at it. I think states like Oklahoma or Texas or Arizona, these are the first states that might be able to pass such a resolution and get it signed by the governor.
Yeah.
We are coming to a point where it's going to be looked at such that I think the states are going to have to put in a mechanism where presidential candidates must show their birth credentials before they get on the presidential ballot.
Right, absolutely. My just curiosity if they're going to make it before this next election.
I think so.
I pray so. This man, I can't see really any one thing positive that he's did for this country at all. He seems like he's working against it, let alone the some of those people that he has in the White House with him that I don't see how they could even pass a security clearance.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, and the not supporting the United States as an exceptional country. The when I wrote The Abomination, the first book I wrote on Obama, I said we'd end up economically weakened. Our foreign policy would be much reduced in terms of our status and our national security, and that race relations would deteriorate, and Obama would abandon Israel. That's what I predicted.
Well, it all came true.
I think it's all come true.
Yeah, absolutely. Let alone his attack. That was a Blanton attack against Israel, because he normally Netanyahu was coming to make the speech in the first place. Wasn't that kind of dirty dealing to go and speak in front of him like that?
Well, I think the Obama used the whole opportunity with Netanyahu coming here, United States, to say he was just going to recognize the Palestinian state and recognize it through the United Nations with or without Israel's support.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not a long-term strategy that makes any sense, because if the Palestinian state remains committed to the destruction of Israel, where are we going with the creation of a formal Palestinian state except to empower groups like Hamas and Hezbollah?
Right. Well, that's quite a thing. I mean, it's going to be coming up in the UN. It looked to me, after watching Netanyahu, that Congress was wanting to side with Israel, but Obama, I think, will side with the Palestinians in September.
No question about it. And, you know, this again, when you look at the eligibility issue, you've got a president who was willing to lie.
Sure.
Willing to misrepresent his birth circumstances. I mean, I point out, Obama said always that his mother and father stayed together after he was born until the father went off to Harvard in 1962. Well, it didn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
Within 3 weeks of when the baby was born, Ann Dunham, the mother, was packed up and she went to Seattle, where she went to the University of Washington and started taking night courses.
Right.
Again, I document all this.
Absolutely. What I would like for you to address is something that I haven't been quite clear on, and I was reading it today, and I didn't get quite through it, so I'll let you tell me, and then I'll read it too. But what's this with his Social Security number? Now, that's another area that seems like the federal government should be screaming about.
I would think so. I mean, Barack Obama was using somebody else's Social Security number. It was issued in Connecticut in the 1970s, and Barack Obama was never in Connecticut. And in those years.
Right.
And it wasn't issued to his father. His father in 1964 was gone back in Africa.
Right.
There's nobody to have gotten this card for Obama issued in Connecticut. Now, it also appears the card was issued to somebody originally who was born in 1890. So the way I construct the story, it seems like the person may have gotten into their 80s by the 1970s and said, let's say somebody who had never worked, maybe
right.
a housewife.
Right.
And she decides in her 80s she needs a Social Security card maybe to get medical benefits.
Right.
Now, if she applies for a Social Security card, an 80-year-old will die within a reasonable time. And if she didn't get any Social Security death benefits, there's going to be no cross-referencing
right.
to show her name for that number. So it's a perfect number for identity theft, and that's the number Barack Obama is using. And again, nobody will investigate it. The White House won't acknowledge it or take it seriously. And Barack Obama just won't let anybody, again, he denies it, but he won't talk about it. Won't even let anything be investigated on it. Won't even acknowledge that it's an issue.
Well, you know, that's what I find so ludicrous about the whole deal is with all these suspicious things, and especially what you're talking about right now with the Social Security number, under a normal circumstance, if that was any other kind of a citizen of the United States, they would jump on it just immediately. If that would have been a Republican, you know, say a congressman or something, they'd be all over him.
Precisely.
But my question then is, why doesn't the House have the power to kind of investigate these things or not?
Well, they should. I mean, this is the kind of thing that Congress ought to be investigating, or the FBI. But clearly, Obama just ignores it all. He won't let anybody bring it up. He won't let it be addressed. in the White House press sessions when we've had we've had Les Kinsolving as a representative of WND,
right,
White House press briefing. Robert Gibbs, when his press secretary, just ridiculed Kinsolving every time Les tried to ask the question.
Right.
And this, again, is part of the cover-up. It's part of the Obama strategy to ridicule anybody who questions about him.
Well, you know, this man, with all this, it looks like there had to have been some kind of a larger conspiracy in making him almost groomed to do this. You know, I know that's just talking conspiratorial without anything to back it up, but nothing else to me makes sense of it. I don't see how he could have did this thing on his own. You know, understand what I'm saying?
Well, there's certainly been a lot of money and power behind Obama from Soros, and maybe all of his career. I mean, we don't know how Obama got into Harvard.
Right.
The indication we have, there was that video that Percy Sutton did. He was a black attorney from Harlem, did a video saying that this Al Mansour, who's a former Black Panther, turned to a black Muslim, called Percy Sutton and said that the Saudis wanted to promote Obama at Harvard, and Percy Sutton said, well, he wrote a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
But again, who paid? Was that Saudi money to put Obama through Harvard? I mean, where did Obama get the money to go to Harvard? These are unanswered questions that, again, we just don't know the answer to.
Right, absolutely. Somebody just sent me an email that they wanted a question to ask him. They said, why is Obama so incompetent in their lives? It seems like a 14-year-old could have had a better forgery. And that's true. You know, while it seems like a lot of money tied up in here, why such a easily misproved forgery? I mean, that doesn't make sense either, does it?
Well, you know, Pastor, it's interesting, but if you're president, you can't put out a request for proposal.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And ask for the best forger to show up and apply.
Yeah, okay, well, hey, that really answered that question, because absolutely, there's the other thing that I was going to say about Obama. Out of all this, you know, people, when there's big secrets, even little secrets, it's human nature, they don't keep secrets.
Right.
And it seems like there would be somebody someplace willing to talk.
Well, I think that's why they stayed to their close circle of friends,
mm-hmm,
to do this forgery.
Right.
And probably the person who said, well, I'll do it, thought they were really good with Photoshop and could really do this, but they may not ever forge anything before, and they weren't really as good as they thought they were.
Right.
That's the problem. I mean, lies, you know, Pastor, one lie leads to another lie leads to another lie.
Sure.
And eventually nobody's any good lying.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, eventually they'll stumble over their own lies because they won't remember what
Precisely.
They said to cover up what they said.
Well, it's the same thing with trying to forge something.
Right.
Well, eventually, you know, you think, well, I can forge this. Nobody will know the difference. But the truth is, it's hard to do a good forgery. I mean, it's a real skill to be able to pull something off that no one else would recognize.
Right.
And I don't know that necessarily, clearly, Obama probably didn't have those talents within his inner circle. So you're left with the best person who will do it for you without having to go outside the group, and that person may not be all that good.
Right. Absolutely. Because, yeah, absolutely. That really answers that question.
Right.
I think that what do you think? Do you think in the eventuality that it will all be exposed, or do you think they're going to get away with it?
No, I think in the end all these things get exposed. And I don't think that, I think I've already written enough and put out enough, and the book is likely to become a bestseller, so that I think increasingly the word is out. And over the next few weeks, if people buy and read this book, I think it's going to be harder and harder for Obama to continue to lie.
Yeah, I want to emphasize on the people to get this book. The book is called Where's the Birth Certificate? the case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president, and I'm telling you, whether you even believe this is his birth certificate or not, we could take the birth certificate issue out of the book, and just with the other things we've talked about, such as Social Security numbers and his father and other things, folks, that there's still enough to throw him out of being president. This book is dynamite, and I'm really surprised that you haven't had an attempt on your life, Jerome, honestly.
Well, I mean, I get my threats, but I'm an investigative reporter, and it pretty much comes with the territory.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, I take reasonable precautions, that it's whether if I'm investigating the Republicans, they are all unhappy with me. If I investigate the Democrats, they don't like it either.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So how's the book doing so far? It's only been, I just got mine this week. I think I got it from Amazon, but...
Right. Books are getting delivered. They are out there. It was published on May 17th. So it's like the second week it's been available. And I think it's doing very well. It's been high in the numbers on Amazon, up to number one.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's excellent. Folks, you need to get this book. Actually, buy several copies and pass them out to your friends, because there's some inescapable evidence in here. You did a wonderful job with all the that really helped make the book, was all those documents you put in the middle of the book.
I think that was real important to do. I think it really made it clear when I got the got it out there that, in fact, when you see the documents yourself, there's 125 documents. They're in glossy paper printed in the middle so you can read them easily. I think it makes a big impact on people to see the proof with their own eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you did an excellent job on the book. We'll wait a couple months and have you back on. And I think there's going to be some things change with this. I really do. I know you're doing a lot of radio interviews, aren't you?
Oh, I've been doing 10 or 12 a day.
10 or 12 a day?
10 or 12 radio interviews a day.
Wow. Well, you're a popular guy. Well, it's a great book. Folks, get the book and go sign up at WorldNet Daily for the WorldNet Daily Alerts, and you'll get, an email every day. And, again, thanks for being on with me, and I really appreciate you, okay?
Okay, Pastor. Great pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks. Wow. Yeah, again, this is a dynamite book. Look, even if you were such a skeptic and you say, okay, there's a birth certificate, I believe it. If you read this book, this has a lot. I mean, what about his Social Security number? If you or I got caught using somebody else's Social Security number, or there was something wrong with it, they'd investigate it, we could end up doing some federal time over it. Okay, well, in the same light, too, if indeed... the birth certificate is the birth certificate, which I don't believe it is, but he's claiming that his dad was a British citizen. That's something that's freely admitting. That also makes him ineligible to be president. Somebody needs to do something about this. And you know what? And it can make a difference if you contact your congressman and let them know. You need to raise a stink. The people need to raise a stink. You need to raise a stink with your local news media. News media isn't going to report the truth until you make them tell the truth. And anyways, so read the book, get it. Anyway, next week, we got a real good guest on, and his name escapes me right at the moment, but because he was the preacher, the radical preacher that I think was in the Minnesota House of Representatives, he went up and said a prayer that they just went livid over, and it went viral on the internet about how he prayed to Jesus, and he said something that was very damaging to Mr. Barack Obama, and he's going to be on with us next week, and so you don't want to miss that program. Okay, I'm going to have to start getting out of here. So just remember that the only way to the Father is through the Son, Yeshua. There's no other way that you can be saved. You have to be saved. Otherwise, you're going to go to the lake of fire. There's no in-between. And you folks out there that believe once saved, always saved, need to read your Bible, because once you're saved, you have to turn away from sin. The Word of God says that if once you receive the knowledge of the truth, if you continue on in sin, there remains no more sacrifice for your sins. That sacrifice is Yeshua HaMashiach, and without him, you can't be saved. If the sacrifice is taken away, then you're gone. So you got to turn away from sin. There's a lot of bad things coming to this country, and I also believe to the world, absolutely. Watch September, but I think you need to stock up. I really do. If you're not stocking up, well, we'll have to do a program on that. I really got to get out of here. We really need for you to please pray about donating to the Wichita Mission Church. We need your support to keep this up, to keep bringing you guests like Jerome Croce, and to keep helping the people that are victims of the economy. Got to get out of here. Go. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19, 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19.